your Bibles and turn to Luke 23. I know we were there this morning, but I have something else that I saw in here that I wanted to share with you. Luke 23. While you're looking for that, you pray for Larry Reeser passing his brother, Robert Reeser. And Len Lurch's mother passed away, apparently like just over the weekend here, maybe even last evening. And she has not been well, but you pray for her. I know she'd appreciate it. Pray for Miss Ginny Flowers' mom. She's just not well, and it's just it's kind of rough right now. And Selma is her name, and Glaze, Selma Glaze. And so, but don't spell it like Glaze. It's G-L-E-Y-Z-E. Just like gray, it's glaze. Okay, so you pray for them. I know they appreciate that. And some of you remember the Harlackers. Miss Shirley's mom passed away, so I haven't seen anything, any arrangements. So I'm not sure what they may be doing, but you pray for them. I know they appreciate that. And we've got about 11 folks signed up there for the ball game on August 25th. So if you would like to do that, you got to let me know this week, next Sunday the latest. And we've got to come up with 30 to make the deal work. But it's $9 per person, and that includes $5 voucher. So it's $9 total, but it's $4 for the ball game, $5 to take over to the concession stand. And so that's a pretty good deal. So if you can do that, it's August 25th. Friday evening, August, last Friday in August. So if you can do that, please let me know. We'll just go in there and we'll just get a bunch of seats. We'll just have a good time. But let me know if you can do that. And if you want to do that, if there's not enough, then we just won't. But if you can do that, it'd be a great thing. All right, Luke chapter 23, if you will. Luke chapter 23. And I saw this when I was studying for this morning. What we talked about this morning, that's the only place where Calvary is used. And I was kind of had that theme, and Calvary covers it all, and all those kind of things. It's the choir saying, but that's kind of what drew me to this passage. But as I was looking at this passage, something else kind of came out at me. So let's go back. And of course, we know that that Jesus was taken to Pilate because they wanted him executed. Pilate talks to him and said, "You know, there's really nothing here to execute this man over." And he just trying to kind of kick the can down the road a little further, said, "You know, oh, you're under Herod's jurisdiction. Let's send you to Herod. I'm going to take this off and I'm going to put this thing on Herod." So he sends it to Herod. By the way, those two didn't get along real well. Apparently, there's a lot of friction. Crazy thing is, after it was all done, they actually kind of patched things up. It's strange how that worked. But he sends them to Herod. Well, Herod goes through and he interrogates them and so forth. And he says, "You know what? There's nothing here. There's nothing here." So he sends it back to Pilate. Well, that's the last thing Pilate wanted to see. Oh, man. So these guys are kind of tossing the ball back and forth, actually playing kind of hot potato. Nobody wants what's being tossed at them. And so they send it back to Pilate. That's where we come to, again, in verse 13 of chapter 23 of Luke. Luke 23, 13. Let's read. "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people," got them gathered all around again, "said unto them, 'Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accused him.'" Now, did Herod have a problem with Jesus? No. I mean, just want you to think some of these things through. Verse 15, "No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Now again, that word chastise is the idea of him being scourged. I'm going to have him whipped within an inch of his life. I'm going to have him bloodied. I'm going to have him beaten. And then I'm going to release him, because we always release somebody during the Passover. Give him a break. That's what it says, verse 17. "For of necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast." This was a deal that the people had. It was kind of like a amnesty, kind of a pardon, you know. So that's what they would do. Verse 18, "And they," the crowd, "cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. So we don't want, listen, don't you make our decision for us. Yes, you're supposed to release somebody, but we don't want him released. Well, he's been examined by several different people, and there's no reason for him to be executed. But that has nothing to do with it. Right and wrong had nothing to do with it. They wanted what they wanted. They didn't like that man telling them that they were sinners like the rest of us, and they decided they want this man executed. They're going to knock him off. So we want Barabbas, not this man. Verse 19. Barabbas, who for a certain sedition raised up a whole... What's the word I'm looking for? A coup, if you will. They were trying to take over the government. Rebellion. So, for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. So, Barabbas was a murderer. But they'd rather have him than have Jesus. Verse 20. Pilate, therefore, look at this word, willing. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. Now, well, let me get a little further. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Now, who's the boss in this situation? Pilate. But he's playing games with these people. Now, he's willing to release him. Well, that's good. Well, then release him. Verse 22, and he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. I'm going to slap him. You know what I mean? He needs something. I know you all think he needs something, so I'll go ahead and we're going to scourge him. We're going to chastise him. We're going to make sure we've got his attention. Lord willing, he'll stop. I shouldn't say Lord willing. He didn't do that. But willing, you know, hopefully he'll stop and we'll just go on. Really, he wanted to release him. He was willing to release him. He says, I will chastise him and let him go, verse 23. And they were instant, I mean immediately, instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them, of the chief priests, prevailed. They didn't hold a gun to Pilate's head. They didn't hold a knife to his throat. But their words prevailed. He was willing to release him, but he didn't. The voices prevailed. Verse 24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He gave in. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Let's pray, and I'm going to talk about this for a few moments tonight. Willing is not enough. Willing is not enough. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, we thank you for the truths. Lord, once again, we come to hear your word, hear the truth. May I ask for your Holy Spirit to move, teach us some things here. Lord, we need to do all, having done all, to stand. There's some things we need to... Sometimes we just need to be unwilling to move from our will. Lord, I pray that you teach us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. As I was studying for this morning's message, this kind of jumped out at me. God created us with a free will. And do not allow anyone, even the Calvinists on TV and on radio, to convince you otherwise. I do not really advise you to listen to them, but if you do, Listen with a discerning ear, and you will soon see how they speak out of both sides of their mouths. I saw in this passage people exercising their wills. On the other hand, it appears that within the process of exercising our wills, there are different degrees to which we exercise our wills. Or you could say we exercise our wills in different directions. The will of man is sometimes very determined to do as he believes should be done. I'm not talking about whether it's right or wrong. I'm just saying we decide we're going to do it and we're going to hang on to it. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not so good. Sometimes that's good. We need to stand for Christ. Sometimes it's not so good when you're a little kid who doesn't want to eat his broccoli. But we have a will, and sometimes we tend to exercise it at the wrong time, but we need to make sure that we exercise it at the right time. Sometimes the will of man is not as fixed, and his will is to go along with the crowd. That's still exercising your will. We find that often that the will of man is to do what pleases him most at the moment, rather than being determined to do that which is right and true. And if doing right serves him best, then the man makes doing right his will and pats himself on the back. Little Jack Horner sitting in the corner eating his Christmas pie. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." That's what we say. I did what I wanted to do, and I'm a good boy. We must remember that sometimes doing right serves him best, but it sometimes appears to be more advantageous to do something other than right. And then that person's will is to do something other than right. Still, we must remember that the man's will is his own will, and he must take responsibility for how he exercises that will, no matter the situation. We cannot blame someone else for how we have exercised our own will. We may think that the situation dictated the response of our wills in a certain direction, but really the action of our wills is totally independent of the situation. We may be exercising our wills according to how the outcome pleases us. Sometimes we exercise our wills where we are dealing with preferences rather than absolutes, as with, let's say, the color of the carpet, where there really is no right or wrong. Even if we think there are some definite wrong choices, you know, I'm not asking for us to get all upset and get cantankerous and go nose to nose. That's not what I'm saying. But I suppose if we can do according to our will, it is nice to have the will be our thing, our go our way. But it's not absolutely necessary. On the other hand, if someone wants you to denounce Jesus as God, we need to make a conscious decision to stand and exercise our wills in support of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we all have a will, and in fact, we all exercise our wills. Even if we exercise our wills by acquiescing to the wills of others. You following me? We've made a decision. Sometimes a decision is not to make a decision. Sometimes it says, well, I'm going to follow the crowd. I'm going to do what they do. That we make a decision. Let me give you number one here tonight. Number one, Pilate was willing to do right. He says, willing to release him. Verse 20, he says, Pilate, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him, and I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant. I mean, they jumped right down his throat. They jumped right on that. Now, that would not be enough. It is not that we want him punished, they said. We want him dead. Now that word willing there in verse 20, Pilate therefore willing, that means he's willing to acquiesce to right. Pilate wanted and was willing to do what was right in the situation. He was, in a way, you could even use the word determined. He had already made a decision. I want to do right. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. So he goes to the people and says, you know what? We ought to rethink this thing. This guy's not guilty that we should be executing him. I think we should rethink this thing. And he was basically trying to appeal to the people, trying to appeal to their pity, their compassion, and said, you know what? I think I ought to give this guy a break. He was willing to do right. Now, the willingness of Pilate to do right was overpowered by the unwillingness of the people to accept right. They jumped right down his throat. It says, and they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. Now, who were they to be telling Pilate what he has to do? They really don't have that authority. Now, I'm just going to say one thing here, folks. No one can force you to do anything. Well, what if they're holding a gun to your head? Now, hang on. Now, I'm not saying do something stupid and cause your own death. But there may come a day when they're going to ask you whether you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the only Savior of the world or not. Now, what are you going to do? Well, they had a gun in my head. What could I do? Well, I'm not saying this flippantly. You could go to heaven. That's hard. See, we live in a cushy society where, you know what, we're so unaccustomed to having any kind of persecution or problem that we just put it out of our mind. I tell you what, I hate to say this, I think we better get ready. Now, you might be the nicest person on the block like Jesus was. And they may just up and say, I don't like you. Now, we get a chance to make a decision. Pilate, the willingness of Pilate to do right was overpowered by the unwillingness of the people to accept right. Willing to do right and actually doing right are two different things. Pilate is not off the hook because he was willing to release Jesus. He had a decision to make. We are not off the hook because we are willing to do right. Somehow we often give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. We will say that it's the heart of the matter, not the action, that God will be pleased with us because we really wanted to do right, but we just couldn't do right because of the extenuating circumstances that we decided outweighed the doing of right. Being willing to do right as long as nothing gets in our way is not the same thing as doing right. We have only done right when we have done right. Not just willing to do right if others don't stop me. Many people pat themselves on the back for being willing to do right, even though they don't actually do right. And we do not get credit for doing right unless we do right. The centuries-old question has been, who should take the responsibility for killing Jesus? Was it the crowd, the people? Was it the Jews? Was it the Roman soldiers? Was it Pilate? It was all of them and all of us. We made a decision to sin. And so there would have to be a sacrifice for that sin. Jesus also made the decision to die for us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Pilate was willing to do right. That's good. But being willing to do right and doing right is not the same thing. Number two. If his willing to do right had limitations, the number two, that what it means this, Pilate was willing to do wrong. He was willing to do right. That's really what he that's what he preferred. But he was willing to do wrong. If doing right is not comfortable, then I'll do the other. If doing right is not convenient, well, then I'll do that which is not right. I couldn't help but answering, kind of asking myself this question. Are you willing to throw Jesus away because of the opinions of others? That's kind of what Pilate did. He threw him away because everybody else said he should. Are you willing to throw Jesus away because of the difficulties that standing for Jesus will most likely bring to your life? This isn't going to be easy, so I want to do right. I really do. But, you know, what do you do? Mark 15 talks about this, and there's a little spot there that sticks in here. And if you put them all together, it fits right in the middle of all this. Mark 15, 14 says this, "Then Pilate said to them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him." Watch this. "And so Pilate," Mark 15, 15, "and so Pilate willingly," so Pilate, watch, "willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." He was willing to release him, but he was also willing to content the people. Willing is good, but it's not enough. Pilate was willing to do right, but he was also willing to do wrong. He was easily swayed. Pilate was more willing to please the people than he was willing to please God. Pilate was more willing to destroy God than to destroy his career. Pilate knew who Jesus was. When asked why he wrote over top of him, over the cross, they probably had to put an accusation when he was crucified, he wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." That's what he wrote. And when he was questioned by the religious leaders, "Don't put on there that he was King of the Jews. Put on there that he claimed that he was King of the Jews." That's why we ought to, because he was, listen, this is heresy. This is going to rise up in power. This is a revolution. This is a rebellion. He said he was King of the Jews. And Pilate said, "No, what I've written, I've written." He sounded like he may have even have believed that Jesus was who he said he was. The problem was he still acted on the will of the people rather than his own will, which was to release him. Having knowledge of the truth is different than exercising our will concerning the truth. See, I know what's right, and I would rather prefer to do that which is right. But do you actually exercise your will to do right? So we pat ourselves in the back and say, "Well, you know, I really like the doing right. I serve the Lord." And what we're saying is, I would do it if it was easy. I would do it if it wasn't a problem. I mean, it is what I prefer. But in reality, if there's any opposition, any obstacle, our will changes. We're willing to do right, but we're willing to do wrong if right becomes too difficult. This is the type of situation where people say, "Well, what else could I do?" Well, we could do right. Well, what if that's going to cause a lot of problems? In the long run, doing wrong is going to cost you a whole lot more. Sin always complicates things. They say history tells us that Pilate could hardly stand it. And he basically went crazy after all this. The man went mad. What we are saying is that the consequences of doing right was more than I was willing to accept. So since I'm not willing to accept the consequences of doing right, I will do what I need to do to avoid the consequences. We've exercised our will. Pilate was willing to do right if the people were willing to accept it. He was willing to do right if the people were not willing. I'm sorry, he was not willing to do right if the people were not willing to accept it. And many times Christians will attempt to do right until the pressure is too great and the reaction is going to be too severe, more than they want to deal with. But they still want heavenly credit for doing right even when they didn't actually do it. Well, I wanted to. I wanted to do right. Well, good. Just being willing to do right is not enough unless we actually do it. There are people who do the same thing with salvation. They know they ought to get saved. They got in heart, but they kind of salve their conscience because, well, one of these days I probably will. One of these days I'll admit the fact that I'm a sinner and I should be going to hell, that Jesus died and paid for all my sins. I'll do that one of these days. I'm willing. I will. I know I'll do that one of these days. And one of these days never comes. And in fact, every time we say no to the Holy Spirit, we callous our heart one more layer till there will be a point where we can say no without a problem. Same thing happens in sin, things that we have in our life. So I'm willing to do right, but you know, this little thing, this little habit, this little addiction, this little problem, I'll do it one of these days. I know I should, but I will. I'm going to do this one of these days. It becomes easier and easier and easier to say no to right. Pilate was willing to do right, but he was willing to do wrong. Number three, he was willing to give away the right that he has to his own will. Let me say that again. He was willing to give away his right to have his own will. He could have done right. Now, we've all been there somewhere along the way. It might have been a buffet at the cheesecake place, but we saw it and we gave away. We knew what was right, and we didn't. Next time. Verse 24, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Pilate was willing to make his will match the will of the people. Pilate relinquished his right to his own will. Verse 25, and he released unto them him for seditions and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. And watch this. But he delivered Jesus to their will. That word deliver means to surrender. He surrendered his will to their will. Whatever the rest of the world wants to do is all right with me. Now, if I had my way, we would do thus and so, thus and so. But you know, this is the world, the way that we live in this world, so we just got to go along with it. Well, that's just the way the young people are these days. So what are you going to do? You might as well just go ahead and keep them happy and try to keep them in the church. Oh, keep them in the church, and they think that's what church is. We play games with church, and then we wonder why they don't grow up. Listen, you know what they see? While we're trying to appease them, to let them have their will, they're seeing us as hypocrites. Because they know we don't like that, but we're going to do it anyway to make them happy. And you know what they just said? Well, that apparently is not that important. They're just making rules. That's just the way it works. You're going to do more damage to your children giving into the world than if you just draw the line and in love teach them truth. That's the honest to goodness truth. Listen, our kids come in, our kids grow up, foolish is bound in the heart of the child. But a rod of correction shall drive it far, far, far from them. Now again, let me remind you, so we're going to have some other folks in here. The rod of correction is the same rod that the good shepherd uses. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They poke you here and there and keep you on the path so you get to the green pastures and the still waters. It's not going, you stupid, dumb sheep, what in the world? That's not what you're doing with the rod. You stupid kid, what is your problem? You beat them half death. That's not what he's saying. Now, they may say, you know, you've seen kids. You get on the bus, and you're trying to. So that's not the bus you get on. Get on this one. You take their shoulder and kind of, don't you touch me. Like, you're some big baby. Big old bully, and you're beating up on when you're just trying to get them on the right bus so they end up the right house. You didn't hurt anybody. In fact, the Bible says, don't give up, for they're much crying. Now, he didn't say beat them until they cry. They don't have to cry. A lot of kids found out that if you cry real hard, all right. I won't push it this time. They're going to go do their own thing. They know how to play the game. They're sinners. When we rest, listen, whatever the rest of the world wants to do is all right by me. We're exercising our wills to willfully give our will over to their will. These people have made up their minds separate from the facts. They made their own decree and were not about to be denied. And Pilate was giving Jesus to the people to do to him as they will. He turned them over to them for him as they desired. Let me ask you this. What are you going to do with Jesus? Where do you stand? Pilate became intrigued by Jesus. And he even asked him, what is truth? But by allowing the will of people to prevail against his own will, he actually chose willfully to cut Jesus out of his own life. He wanted to hear. He was willing to hear. But he gave his will over to the people, so that he would be cut off and out of everybody's life. Number four, this is a long statement, so I don't know whether you want to look at it, but it's a point here. There are many people who think they're being Christian-like because they are quick to acquiesce to the wills of others. Now hang tight. There's some people who think they're being very Christian-like because they are quick to acquiesce to the wills of others. Yes, we should be willing to allow others to have their way in matters that are not eternal. I understand that. People will attest to standing for truth until one of their loved ones goes against that truth, and all of a sudden, they stand for the will of the people rather than the will of God. You follow what I'm saying? There's been politicians, conservative politicians, who said, you know what? Homosexuality is wrong, and we shouldn't be supporting it. And then their kid comes out as a homosexual, and they change their vote. Now, that's a politician. I'm not trying to be mean, but what can you expect? We're supposed to be standing on truth. I'm not saying be mean. I'm not saying be angry. I feel sorry for folks who are into those kind of lifestyles. They really think they're right. I really do. I feel sorry for them. They've been so twisted in the way they think, but it's still twisted thinking. It's froward walking. It's not what it's supposed to be. Listen. See, we got to think of these things the way Christ thinks of them. For instance, adultery is wrong. It is. Fornication's wrong. It is. But wait a minute. Somehow we'll stand up here and say, and we will stand and say, you know, that's wrong. Now we shouldn't be beating folks up. Don't get me wrong. We'll say it's wrong, and then all of a sudden, one of our children fall into that sin. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to hurt anybody. But if I stop preaching against sins just because there's somebody in the house that has that sin, there's not much left in the book. I want to spare you from any more hurt. I don't want to hurt you. I'm not here to embarrass you. Well, you know that I'm doing so and so and so and so, and you talked about that. You were probably trying to point me out. No, I'm trying to point the Word of God out. We love you. There's not one person that will come through this door we would say, get out. You're not fit to come here. There's not one. What if we get some drag queen coming in here? Most of them probably go, wait a minute. You know what that person needs? Somebody that they know really, truly loves them. They're trying to find identity. Our identity is not in all this stuff. Our identity is in Him. Listen, the God of all the world, the whole universe, and what it created, loves me. And loves me enough, not only did He die for me, but He'll walk me step by step, minute by minute, moment by moment, through my life if I let Him. That's pretty cool. I still love that song, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Listen, I got friends in high places. You can't get any higher than heaven. And you've got a friend in high places. And maybe, listen, folks who have to go through all this stuff to try to feel like they are somebody. You've heard a guy say, this kid went up to his dad and said, I want a tattoo so I can be unique like everybody else. They're lost. They're empty. And we didn't show them Jesus. When it comes to Jesus and the truths of God, and through truths of God's Word, we cannot be neutral. You can't be neutral. I'm not saying it's spiritual to be nasty about the matter. I'm not saying it. Well, bless God, you're wrong. No, I'm not. Get off of that. You know, we judge ourselves. We wouldn't have time to pick out everybody else's faults. Do what's right yourself. But God puts you in a position where you get a chance to give the Word of God, well, then give it. Not out of vengeance or ridicule or retaliation, but just truth. Hey, we're all sinners. Your sin may be a little more visible than my sin, but the fact is we're sinners. Jesus was never indignant about how He was treated, nor in the way He treated, it wasn't indignant in the way He treated others. On the other hand, Jesus never retracted who He was and what He stood for and what constituted truth. We are to put on the whole armor of God and, having done all, to stand. Exercise our will. Don't relinquish it to the will of the people. Number 5. Just being willing to go along with the idea of God and the idea of a Savior and with the things that the church believes is not enough. What am I aiming at? There's a lot of people, let's say it's kind of indifference. Indifference is not spiritual, though it may be interpreted to be so by some. Well, I went along with that. Just nodding in agreement to stay a part of the crowd, and even if that crowd's the spiritual crowd, or to not make waves, just nodding, that's not enough. Have you truly enacted your will in your belief of the Word of God and in truth? Or is truth something that you're willing to be persuaded otherwise? I'm willing to do right, but willing to relinquish and surrender to the will of others. Let me ask you this question. Where do you truly stand when it comes to Jesus? Being willing to stand with Jesus as long as others do is not enough. I've told you this before. sometimes we could play religious games. I grew up at a mainline denominational church, but I've always liked music, and so we actually had this little group we called the Children of the King. And we went around to churches and churches all over the area and sang. But the fact is, we sang at the Methodist and the Lutheran and the United Church of Christ and other churches that are more ritualistic and, to be honest with you, more likely to have somebody in the pulpit who may not even be trusting Christ as Savior. I hate to say that, but that may be. They've kind of shown their stripes here in recent years where they're willing to ordain homosexuals. And we have a welcoming congregation. We have a welcoming congregation. Everybody comes and says, "Your people are so friendly. Walked right in. I didn't know whether I'd be welcomed up, but they just came right over." And we do. We welcome people. Though they're welcome to come in with their sin, we're not going to welcome the sin. Now, we're not going to jump on them, because even though we have sin, because if we start throwing that, we're all going to have a brawl here. We're going to be jumping all over everybody here. We talk about sin. But we're not going to acquiesce. Now, I sang in this group. We went around to churches all the time. And they were out of similar type churches. And I remember one night, now I was saved when I was 11, and I knew I was saved. Didn't know a whole lot more, but I knew I was saved, and I could give you the verses. And we would rehearse on Tuesday nights at our house. And we would get in there. We had a little PA system. My mom and dad had a pretty good-sized living room, and we had the PA system sitting there. We'd go in and rehearse and so forth. And then after we would get finished rehearse, about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was, we'd all go out in the den, and my mom would always make some kind of bar cookie or something other. We all sit and chat and have a good time. But usually they would go, and I would finish cleaning up the microphones and get it back where I wanted it to be. And one night, one of the young ladies in the group just kind of stayed behind. I could see she's had something on her heart, and she said, "Sterling, do you really believe all this?" I said, "Yeah." "Me too, just in case it's true." "Me too, just in case it's true." She didn't believe it. You see, we can play games. There was a gentleman, young man in that group. Good guy. In fact, I was always a little jealous of his voice. When he was in ninth grade, he sounded like Bing Crosby. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." He would play the piano. And I tell you what, he could just laugh and play the piano. It was amazing. And I'm going, and making some mistakes in between. I mean, that's about all I had. I was thinking about going into music. It was almost too easy for him. It wasn't a challenge. And we sang, and everybody said, "Oh, how wonderful he is." He was. He did a really good job. He has a gay partner. Has for years. Nice guy. You upset with? Not on me. I've never even brought it up to him. He knows where I stand. My job is to love him. Who knows? Maybe we'll get a chance to bring him back to the Lord or something. Maybe. I don't think the guy was saved. I think he was willing to do what Jesus would want. But he was willing to do something else if that better suited his purposes. Are you willing to stand with Jesus when others are not? Are you willing to stand with Jesus no matter what popular opinion is? Are you willing to stand with Jesus even if you are counted a fool? Are you willing to stand with Jesus even if it means losing friends? Are you willing to stand with Jesus even if it means you lose your employment? True faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ is an exercise of the will. with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Faith without works is dead. Pilate can stand and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. But you know, I don't really want to lose my job, so go ahead and crucify him. If your will is exercised by being indeterminate and simply willing to go along with the crowd, you have not exercised your will the way God intended. If you've just, listen, if you've exercised your will to come to church here just because that's what you do and makes you look like a good person, I knew when I was growing up, there was folks who went to church because it's good business. All you got to do is say, well, you know, it's not this way with everybody, but I know a lot of folks who got their name in the Shepherd's Guide and put a little Christian fish down there, and you start talking to them, you can find out, I hate to say it, I'm not saying they're all like that, don't get me wrong, but they're not really saved. They just want you to feel like they're safe to call on for business. Because they're saved, then I must be a good risk. You know, I must be trustworthy. So I go to church. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be real. Don't play the game. Have you given up your right to have a free will? Because you're willing to go with whatever the crowd says. I'm willing to go with Jesus if everyone else goes with Jesus. Where do you stand on right and wrong? Where do you stand with Jesus when Jesus is put on the stand? Willing is not enough. Have you exercised your will in favor of right? Think about it. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the truths that are in it. Kind of a pointed message. Kind of a shake us down to reality type message. Lord, we got to learn to exercise our will in your direction. We cannot be neutral. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.